risen King of glory, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, very rarely when the Christian church celebrates Easter, because it's a movable holiday, does it always really fall on such a day as April 1st, or what we know to be April Fool's Day. Most enjoy a light-hearted prank, maybe you know, that you've played or played against you, but you know how those things can get out of control. For instance, on April 1st, 1905, news hit Europe about a massive crime against the U.S. federal treasury. Supposedly, thieves tunneled beneath the treasury and stole hundreds of millions of dollars. And at that time, that would have been probably equivalent to trillions of dollars today. And as it goes on, the U.S. government was said to be desperately trying to conceal the crime, even as its forces were chasing the criminals across the oceans. Some newspapers in Europe even created illustrations to show the exact location of the tunnel dug by the thieves. When the word reached America, most U.S. newspapers were bemused, kind of shocked by the gullibility of the European counterparts. However, there were a few calls for a congressional investigation of the crime. Easter has more integrity than falling prey to April Fool's Day fake news. They had fake news even back in 1905, you see. We know that the resurrection of Jesus Christ had verification from multiple sources. First, a testimony arose from the adversaries of Jesus, his own enemies, who feared the fact that his tomb was empty. Second, a testimony came from the disciples who followed Jesus. Third, a testimony came directly from the Lord who revealed himself to be alive. And finally, the testimony of the ancient text of the Old Testament, thousands of years before Jesus even appeared, confirmed it all, that he would rise from the dead. Now, Mary Magdalene figured the body of Jesus to be stolen, and that meant loneliness for her. Our reason cannot quite wrap its mind around this kind of stuff, about what only the grace of God can give to poor, miserable sinners. The triumph of Jesus over the grave is to turn tears of sorrow into joy. And so there are plenty of tears for Mary Magdalene in our text today. She went to the tomb, not alone, no. Those dedicated women at the cross came together early on Sunday because they loved Jesus. They were waiting to go to the tomb. Even if he was dead, they still loved this Lord who loved them. Mary was part of this group, but the Gospel of John that you heard today gives a very special witness just to this one woman. While the other women entered the tomb, all we hear about Mary is how she ran. She ran and went to Peter and the other disciple, cutting herself off from the others, left fear. And fear left her to say simply, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. Someone and the enemies have taken Jesus, and we don't know where they have laid him." Fears over life can make us react in funny ways that separate us from other Christians. Rather than drawing close together, trembling hearts make us go off in our own way. And this happens very easily to sheep who do not know the Good Shepherd. Mary caused her own loneliness, you see. And so can we. And when we're alone, you really have no good answers, especially for life. Peter and John, of course, though, went to the tomb, and Mary kind of also came along again. These men inspected the circumstances, seeing the burial clothes lying there, along with the face cloth that was kind of nice and neatly folded, which if it was stolen, you don't have time to kind of fold things nice, right? John notes how he saw and believed the signs of the resurrection, but both of them did not understand the scriptures and what they promised. They couldn't wrap their mind around what God had promised long ago. In a matter-of-fact way, these disciples, after seeing and experiencing what they saw, simply left, going back to their own homes, kind of scratching their heads, a little awe, a little fear, but that's about it. They did not love their neighbor, though, as themselves. And who was their neighbor? Mary. And that poor lady was left alone at the tomb, weeping. Our reaction, like the disciples, can be at first to care, but soon it fizzles out. We get sucked up into other stuff, worries of life or whatever. Where there is little faith in Christ's victory, so love overlooks the distress of others. Has Easter become more about returning home from church than being the church that cares? And so finally, Mary was alone, wasn't she? An empty tomb was disturbing to one who loved Christ as she looked into it with tears. And to the angel, I like to see an angel, but when she saw two angels, all she said was, "They have taken away the Lord." There it is again. I don't know where they've laid him. Even when Jesus stood there before her, grief was so deep. Only she could say to him, who was a gardener, "Tell me where you've laid him." So desperate was she. "I'll take him away." Tears need more comfort than an empty tomb can give. Death confronts us that even angels cannot overcome. Loss can make us blind, so blind, even when Christ is right there before us, as he promises. And yet, we're here on Easter because there was plenty of joy for Mary Magdalene and for all people, most of all, those who look to Jesus. Two angels in the tomb knew there were no more tears. We know that Jesus, as we say in the Creed, he descended into hell before he appeared to men on earth. When he went to hell, he didn't go to hell to suffer more. He went to hell to tell the devil, "No more." And so, we find out very clearly the angels knew something far more than men. They came as a pair, didn't they? Two against one. Two for the sake of one. Two to bear a good witness to one that was very much alone. More than burial clothes and a face cloth, that's nice evidence and stuff. But they sat there, these holy angels, at the head and the foot where Jesus laid. And you know what that would mean in the Old Testament? That would mean to be a holy place. But it wasn't a place. It was about a person. And it was more than just a holy person. This was the holy God who had died for sinners. Jesus' death was not meaningless like so many are in this life, or just a sad martyrdom that some can slide into, but truly a sacrifice, perfectly made for an unholy world of what Jesus gave. The question asked by the angels really gave the answer. Angels don't need answers. But they asked the question, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Christ cast out 7 demons from Mary. This was a very troubled woman under a satanic attack who Jesus freed. And yet, his cross took hold of all evil over this life, more than 7 demons. Jesus said before the cross, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Without Jesus, you are subject to the darkness and death and the demons. But with Jesus, no more. He has undone it all. And his victory upon your life by baptism has shielded you with such holiness that you're safe in him. Jesus, standing before Mary, turned her away from tears, didn't he? His first question confirmed the angels and what they asked, but his second question kind of hit the nail on the head. Whom are you seeking? What are you here for? She was seeking a dead Jesus. A Jesus kind of of history that people talk about and say, remember what happened on Good Friday? That was a nice thing. But she didn't realize what really was there was the risen Jesus with great love who was seeking her. And the hype to do so many things. Where you've laid him, I'll take him away. All this to-do stuff when there's nothing to do. Sinners can't save themselves. And the gardener turned out to be the good shepherd, didn't he? The good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, the good shepherd who cares for the sheep, the good shepherd who said to one, Mary, where man failed to love this woman, she recognized the love of Jesus. And she called him Rabboni, which it means teacher, but it also can mean much more. It can mean master and my Lord. Christians are to assure one another that Christ does wipe away the tears, since he died never to die again. There is no guilt so sad that cannot hear a word of forgiveness. There is no death so grim that leaves Christ without the last say. Easter is Christ caring for his church. So as it is for you each by word and sacrament, we now cannot help but look out in the church for those with care. Mary knew what to tell the disciples now, didn't she? She knew what to say without tears. She was the first person to see the risen Jesus. But she still clung to him. Yet his resurrection was nothing, absolutely nothing, like Lazarus from the tomb or the woman of Nain's son in the burial procession who Jesus rose. It was nothing like that. His resurrection put a whole new picture on life. The former way of life with Jesus was no more. His death and resurrection achieved a glory, greater glory, not for himself, but for man. Jesus sent Mary back to share, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Whatever separations there are between God and man, whatever fanciful things people want to say that God, where is he when he hurts? Well, I got a pretty quick answer for you. Go to Good Friday. When people want to know how far God away is in the universe and we can't figure him out, I say you might want to look and recognize God speaks to us on Easter with all hopefulness to trust in him. Everything Jesus has is in a relationship, you see, to the Father by his own right. But for us now, it is by grace, treating us to be equal to him, equal to Jesus, who calls us brothers and sisters. And you do not have that right to claim it. But Jesus tells you, you are. Even The message of Easter comes from the living Jesus who turns those tears into joy. If today is April Fool's Day, there is nothing foolish about the crucified and risen Jesus. He has paid the price for our sins. He has risen, promising you're secure, forgiven, set free. St. Paul proclaims, as you heard today, let us therefore celebrate the festival. Not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. This is not a holiday of man. Holiday means holy day. So whatever other holidays you want to talk about, this is the day that is holy because of Jesus, who has loved us with such love, not only to die on the cross, but to rise from the dead, and he has something to say, so that all might have hope in this risen Savior. There are two ways to handle Easter. Either it's the most ridiculous event in history that the world has ever seen, or it's the most wonderful promise for any throughout history in a sinful world, as it is here for you today, once again. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.